shows lean left, some lean right, but we lean local and business. This is North Georgia Business Radio X with Phil Bonelli. For the next hour, we will celebrate the businesses in our area and the people that run them. Find us on Facebook at North Georgia Business Radio X and online at NorthGeorgiaBusinessRadioX.com. Now, here's Phil Bonelli.
It's been said that clothes make the man. In business, certainly, you want to make a good impression as obviously a man or a woman. And, you know, your clothes are a part of that. And on the show today, we've got someone who's providing fantastic clothes to thousands of people, tens of thousands of people at this point. Derek Case, Dress Up Boutique. Derek, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
I love being here. I know your office isn't right there in the downtown Gainesville Square, but you've got a shop there.
Yeah.
And we're right across the square now. You know, we're kind of neighbors here on the square.
Absolutely.
I cannot wait to have you share the story of Dress Up. I was speaking with Derek beforehand. We're like a similar age. Derek looks way younger and more muscular, if you could see him. I'm a little intimidated right here, quite frankly. But... And you started this business that is now really all over the Southeast. I was telling Derek, I love local business. And even though I have zero to do with Dress Up Boutique or their success, I was jogging through downtown Charleston and saw a Dress Up. And not Dress Up Boutique. It's Dress Up. Sorry. Added the B. I'm just it's old.
No
it's habit.
Worries.
And I felt so proud. I was like, this is this company from Northeast Georgia. And they're all over the place crushing it.
Yeah.
So good for y'all. So tell us what Dress Up is, and let's walk through the story of how it happened.
Yeah. So as with any business, it's ever evolving and changing. But the fundamentals of what we do, of course, it was my wife's idea because it's all women's clothing. But the fundamentals of what we do are we get in at least 60 new styles every single week. So a style meaning, you know, say if we sold your shirt in store, we would get 60 different variations of whether it be that shirt or various shirts, right? So full size runs and everything. So we do that every single week, week in and week out. And that's kind of how we started. And the goal was for us to have a lot of new merchandise often when we first started and just being affordable. And then we still operate off of those same values.
And it is affordable. I mean, you know, if my wife said, hey, I want to go to Dress Up Boutique, I'd say, awesome. Please do, because you're going to get really cool clothes for a reasonable price. I would say the value ratio is very high.
Mm-hmm.
And let's break down a little more. If I was running a retail store, I would think it'd be a lot easier on me as have the same stuff for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You all decided to really kind of change the game, have different inventory every week. Why is that so powerful?
Well, that was kind of how we, getting back to your initial question, that's really why we started the company in general. My wife and I started dating when I was, had just turned 16, and we lived, you know, grew up in Dahlonega, so there was not a lot of shopping options up there, and she wanted to go shopping all the time, so that led us to going to North Point Mall virtually every weekend, which from Dahlonega is a solid hour, and we did that for most weekends for 4 to 5 years. And
wow.
And finally, not long after we got married, I was sitting on the bench like most guys are outside of a H&M on my phone, and she came out and said, you know what, I'm sick of this. And I was like, sick of what? I'm sitting here on this bench like every good guy should when their wife wants to shop, right? She said, no, I'm sick of this. We come here every weekend. It's always the same stuff. It's always overpriced, and I never get what I want. And I was like, that's awesome. Let's never come back to the mall again. And then within a few minutes, she said, no, I think I want to go back and start our own store in Dahlonega. And I was like, what a emotional roller coaster. You know, one second, you think you're never shopping again, and then 2 seconds later, you are entertaining the idea of opening your own clothing store for your wife that has a shopping problem already. So that's kind of where it derived from, was she found the issue with the market was that there wasn't anything that offered that, that you could get different articles all the time. And of course we wanted to be affordable, because all the clothing that we started to find that similar boutiques were already selling, they mm-hmm. were selling for a minimum double what we were going to sell it for.
Wow.
So our goal was to undercut everybody that was there, and make up for less margins by, you know, obviously more inventory. Volume. So, yeah.
Yeah, more options.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I love this. It's just such a similar story. Every successful business we talked to, they saw a need.
Yeah.
And you had some firsthand knowledge. Your wife loves to shop.
Mm-hmm.
And as I think you mentioned to me off the air, you actually like that she likes to get new outfits because she looks amazing and so beautiful in everything she wears.
That's right.
Is what you said. It was Absolutely. So sweet, Derek. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I hope she's not listening. I don't want to embarrass you, but this is such kind husband words. Anyway, she was a consumer of a product and mm-hmm. just thought of some ways it could be better.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure many, many people have thought the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't just sit there and bemoan it and complain it. She said, and you hopped on, let's do this. Let's make this better. And you knew nothing about the industry. You had this idea. What did it look like? How long did it take? What did you have to do to get to where then you opened the first store?
So that was on a Saturday, and let's see if I really backtracked it. One of the probably first Saturdays in July of 2009 or end of June, because that was on a Saturday. Ironically, they had an apparel show that following weekend, so 6 days later, it started in Atlanta. And her wife's family has always been in like the slum world, so they've always, you know, had a ton of business in that side of the world, but not really retail, more service based, of course. And so they already had an account down there at the Mart, and so we were like, well, let's go check out some clothes. And within a few hours, she's like, there's more than enough here to do what I want to do. So that was on.
That's what I'm talking about. Within a week.
Yes.
You were at the Mart.
We were moving, you know. And so I went that following Monday, so 8 days, 9 days after the initial idea, and talked to one of my good buddies that his family, they own the Smith House there in Dahlonega, the world-renowned country
delicious
buffet.
Let's do it.
And they own some real estate and obviously knew everybody in Dahlonega. And I said, hey, you know, we got this idea. Do you know of anything? Because, you know, we started in Dahlonega on the square, in a tiny 800 square feet store in the basement of a building. And, you know, it's hard to get anything. Stuff doesn't hit the market up there because it's just kind of small town. And he said, actually, yeah, we may have a space. Let me talk to my family. We're kind of wanting to downsize one of the businesses we have into one unit. And you may can have one of them. And, you know, we'll let you do a short-term lease and see how it goes.
All right.
And he talked to his family, and that same week, so less than 2 weeks after the initial idea, he said, you know, yeah, we'll have the space if you want it. And I said, sure. So we opened our first store literally 5 weeks after that Saturday, that idea that she
That's
had.
That's what I'm talking about. One thing that, I mean, such an amazing story, especially as you hear, we'll get into where they're at now. One thing you just glossed over, this was in 2009.
Yeah.
This was when the economy was in a bad place. There was lots of people who were pessimistic, who would have had things to say, this is not the right time, Derek. People are spending less money on clothes. You know what? There's opportunity every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tried to start the business today, guess what? Rents would be way higher.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to find a place because things were starting to slow down a little bit. And you offered something which, quite frankly, was of a higher value. The ratio of what you get to what things cost. So it's perfect timing. And
yeah.
I bet there were haters who were like, oh, man, don't do it. We're, you know, in a down economy, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
You didn't listen to that trash.
Yeah, I mean, I graduated college that May before in 08. So literally the worst time to ever graduate. You know, but I was super blessed. I got a job right out of college and was working full-time in sales. And she was working full-time doing hair. And, you know, just I kept that job for the better part of 2 years, and
all
we
right.
opened Dress Up, and she stayed full-time doing hair, and every day when I got off of my sales job, I'd go to the store and check in, and then I would be the one to work it all weekend.
All right, here, I want to pick back up on the genesis of this and this next step after this break on North Georgia Business Radio X. It's been said that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. I'm your host, Phil Benelli, here with entrepreneur Derek Case of Dress Up. If you're just joining us, go back and listen to the first segment. It's really a riveting story. We just picked up Derek, graduated from college May of 08. Often thought of as one of the worst times to graduate because the jobs just weren't there. The economy was slowing. Was he sad about that, though? No, because he just had married a wonderful gal who he started dating in high school mm-hmm. sweethearts. He had a job, which was good because his wife loved to shop. And as they were shopping, she saw a need. She's like, hey, all these clothes are overpriced everywhere. There's nothing right in my community. And it's just stale. It's all the same clothes. I have a better idea. And I want to do something with fresh, new clothes every week. And that was on a Saturday. The following weekend, they were at the Mart making it happen. Five weeks later, they had a store. So lesson number one, be bold and go for it. It would be very easy, Derek, to have just talked about it a lot, kept thinking about it, Google clothing stores, look things up, and research is important, you should look things mm-hmm. up, but everything needs to have an eye for action. Mm-hmm. Action is everything.
Yeah.
So you acted, but it was a transition. You started the store, but it takes a while to make money, so you kept working at your job for 2 more years, mm-hmm. and then you would go to the store every day after work.
Correct.
What did this period look like, this transition?
Well, it was interesting, of course, being that my experience in women's clothing was predominantly sitting outside of clothing stores. So, you know, that took a little while of getting used to being, you know, and we couldn't afford at the beginning to just, we were already having to pay people, you know, while I was at my normal job, we already had to pay people mm-hmm. essentially full time to work there while we couldn't be there, mm-hmm. Kind of Monday through Friday stuff. So, you know, I had to really get accustomed to being the only person in that tiny space. Like it was literally just slightly bigger than this studio we're in. And, you know, these women would walk in wanting to shop for women's clothing. And here's just a little redneck guy from Dahlonega that's just, you know, trying to not be weird and trying to just get through, you know, and so it took a little while to get obviously used to that, but you know, we made it. So
it's a 2-year period mm-hmm. where you're going, it's hustling, you're young, you know, you got the energy and you're doing it. At what point were you able to make the jump? Did you make the jump first or did she make the jump first or at the same time?
Yeah, I always say, ironically, it's almost like Danielle birthed this baby of Dress Up and handed it to me and was like, here's this baby. Okay. I'm still going to dress it and I'm still going to do some stuff. But as far as taking care of it day in and day out, it's yours. And that's kind of how it went because she was just crushing it in the hair game and making so much more money than I was in my sales job. Mm. And, it was essentially one of those things to where it's like, you're going to have to take this and run with it. So I did. Of course, eventually it got old of going 2 full-time jobs, essentially. The store was crushing it. I mean, literally the first weekend that we opened, we literally sold out of 90% of everything we had in the first weekend. So we knew we had something right off the bat. You know, I had the extent of my research was I was confident in her and her, you know, ability to shop, obviously, which hopefully translated to selling things. But also, I literally made a spreadsheet that said, okay, here are the number of only sorority girls at North Georgia College at the time. And that wasn't a very large, huge number, and, you know, maybe not even 1,000. And I said, if we can only sell to 10% of only the sorority girls every month, we can pay our bills. And if we can't, we suck.
There you go.
I didn't think that either one of us would suck at anything. So I was like, let's do it. And that was the extent of our research and our business plan. And it worked. And we kept on that train, as I said, for almost 2 years. And finally, the store was doing really great. And we didn't take any money out of it for 2 years mm-hmm. other than if we had a busy weekend, we'd take $100 out of the drawer and go eat a good dinner on the square or whatever. And finally, it just came to a point where it was like the whole corporate deal. And we got a new boss at my job. And he sent a nasty email one day, and I went in and quit. And
boom.
Danielle knew that I was thinking about it, but I called her one day at lunch and was like, well, I just put in my notice. And, you know, I was doing great. I was, in, you know, one of the top young reps in the state and all that sort of stuff. So they were very shocked and also thought I was pretty dumb to leave a great corporate job in 2009 mm-hmm. with benefits and all the things the world says you need. To go run a little one-off ladies' women's clothing store. So,
all right, many lessons to unpack. One, the idea came, the inspiration, they acted. But it's not like they had this dream, they moved on it, and they were just rich and replaced all their income immediately. 2 years of working two jobs to get things going. And there was initial success. You sold out on the first weekend pretty much. But still, you had to put in, do your time, build up, and learn it. You did some thinking and planning. You made this spreadsheet, did some research, and you were confident. You weren't blindly confident. You put some thought into it and went for it. 2 years, you had to build it up till you were ready to jump. If you have a dream out there, get on it immediately, but buckle yourself up because it can be a long, hard ride. How worth it was it?
Yeah, it was definitely worth it. It's ironic, when I quit, I knew that my goal was to grow, obviously. And it back to just common sense, and as you get bigger, and sometimes you lose the common sense aspect of it. But common sense said that I was in the store every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock when we opened. And the overwhelming majority of people that walked in on Saturday mornings were typically either women by themselves or moms and daughters that were from down the road in Gainesville. And I said, let's see what else is in Gainesville for us. Mm-hmm. And we looked at a space, found a space, and literally every single person that we talked to said, don't open a store in Gainesville. Like, everybody said, people in Gainesville don't shop in Gainesville. They like to go to Atlanta. They don't. And we just, again, we said, we took over a space of a clothing store that went out of business, and we said, they don't shop in Gainesville because there's nothing for them to shop at. It's like saying people don't eat in Gainesville because, yeah, if there's not good restaurants, they don't, right? So,
which there are, by the way. He's phenomenal. Not saying they're not. There's some awesome restaurants.
Exactly. At the time, there wasn't as many. Now there's so many options, people don't leave Gainesville.
Right.
But so at any rate, we opened that store shortly after I quit and started to grow from there for sure.
How many stores are there now?
We have 17 as of today. So,
all right. Very cool. At what point, you're a very ambitious and big dreaming visionary sort of fellow, so I imagine it was early. At what point did you think, we want to have multiple stores?
Yeah, people ask that a lot. They, you know, did you think it was going to turn into this? And I jokingly kind of say yes. I didn't know to what level. You know, the market's changed so much. At one time, we were opening 4 to 5 stores a year, and 8 years ago, my goal was to open 4 to 5 a year infinitely, and so much change, especially COVID really pushed that over the edge.
Sure.
So we're kind of, you know, rethinking our direction and how we want to grow without necessarily having to throw so many stores out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I always thought if we're going to do it, then we're going to jump in head first.
Go big or go home, baby.
That's right.
When I first got the farm, I had never sold a single piece of meat or raised a single animal besides a dog. And I didn't just say, I'm going to get a cow for me to eat. I got like 17 cows.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if I'm going to raise one cow, I might as well raise a whole bunch more and sell them. And I didn't know who I was going to sell it to, but I know people buy beef. So let's do it. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
And there are things that you can't do without scale. Obviously, you started with one store, and it was many years or 2 years. You just had one, then you got two, and then things started to snowball. All right, we're going to continue along this awesome journey of Dress Up and continue to get some great lessons for your business after this break on North Georgia Business Radio X. been said, if you're not growing, you're dying. Is that always true? I don't know. Let's talk about it. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. I'm your host, Phil Benelli, here with Derek Case of Dress Up Boutique. Derek, y'all have taken it in a very... Dress Up. Talking about Dress Up. You've taken it in a very short period of time from one store there in the beautiful downtown Dahlonega Square to 17 stores across the southeast. Amazing. Great growth. And now you're thinking through... How do we look at growth? We don't necessarily maybe want to do 4 to 5 stores every year. And some things changed during COVID, which I imagine was a very challenging time.
Mm-hmm.
How has shopping changed? Has it returned back to normal? And what's the growth strategy here for the next, let's say, 36 months?
Yeah. I think an interesting point in every business, and as we grow and as we contract and do the things that we do, I find myself talking to more business owners, and you know, there's a special place in every business to where your income hits a certain point to where it's maximizing your profitability. And then mm-hmm. So we were at 10 stores, and we thought, simple math says if we have 10 and we're doing X, then you go to 20, you're going to do double that. Well, that 10 to 20 jump, when we had 10 stores, still to this day was our most profitable time we ever were.
Wow.
That was a sweet spot of where we had a lot less overhead. We had a lot less. But to go from 10 to 20, I had almost triple my corporate staff and things like that to support because we're going out of state. So it took a lot more travel, a lot more, you know. So that's kind of where we're at now is, you know, I had a cool business guy told me one time, and we were having the same conversation. He said, yeah, one of his mentors had told him one time, would you rather have 100 $1 chips or would you rather have 10 $10 chips? And I was like, it's great. I'd rather have 10, you know, absolutely, because mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to manage 10, mm-hmm. 10 than 100 little chips. Mm-hmm. So we've taken that and trying to work with that. You know, obviously it's easier said than done when you've built everything based off of, we had 20 stores before COVID, and you know, some leases came up and we took advantage of not renewing those, and
right.
a lot of others we had come up, we did renegotiate and got better deals on them and things like that. But future growth is a combination of course, online is going to hopefully continue to grow. But to answer your question, the stores right now are doing great. I mean, I feel like, myself included, it's really difficult for me to shop online with my body shape, I guess you could say, that I have.
It's hard for Derek to find shirts with small stomachs but huge arms. I mean, I imagine that's tough. I don't have that problem, but
it's something that you have to, you know, it takes a lot of effort. You have to buy.
His sleeves are about to rip. I'm worried if he accidentally flexes, his sleeve will just burst open. You know, one of the keys to growth initially was probably there's all these girls coming to the store just to see you, man. They're like, I don't even need another shirt. I'm going there every weekend. Anyway,
whatever it took, whatever, it's fine.
The online. Mm-hmm. That is more challenging, mm-hmm. but that's a bigger part of retail. How much you started just brick and mortar? Mm-hmm. How much of the business is online now?
We each year average. So obviously, with us still having 17 stores, we still do about 80 to 85% of our sales in store. So online's growed a lot, and during COVID, of course, it was much higher. But we have so many stores that do so well that it's just hard to. When we first started, everything was social media. You could explode a social media account. We got up to 150,000 Facebook likes or followers or whatever you call it.
Golly.
Within a handful of years. And since then, that was probably 12 years ago. We're only at probably 300 now. So it's like they really started to lock down on how the true organic growth can happen.
Ah.
And that's the same with growing your online business side of things. You know, influencers and all these things are great, but they cost a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, digital marketing is truly pay to play, and you got to pay a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot more difficult than what it was to grow that online. And, of course, there's so much more competition. But that's why we feel like us having all the stores is something that helps make us special.
Yeah. When you look at additional stores, you mentioned the you know, additional cost of going out of state, mm-hmm. which is fun. It's fun to go to Charleston, Chattanooga, stuff like that. But there's so many cities in Georgia. When you think of additional brick and mortar stores, is it more centrally located, or are you still looking out of state some?
Some yes and no. We have some stores. You know, we have a handful of stores that when we first started them, they crushed it, and now in a 7 to 10 year span, that entire area has changed. Mm-hmm. Some for the good and some for the bad. Mm-hmm. At least for us, you know, and what we need to be successful. So there's some that we are looking at locally to say, okay, hey, you know, for example, in Cumming, when we opened our location there, that was the only game in town. Now within a 6 mile radius, there's Avalon, there's Halcyon, there's the one we're in, there's like 8 or 9 options. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what is the best fit? And so we'll keep looking locally, but we like the idea as well of getting out into more tourist towns and getting our brand exposed to new people.
Oh, I love
that. And then they can shop while they're there and then go home and buy online as well. So
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Running a business, there's a lot of hats to wear. And when you look at it, what are the keys that, how do you best like to engage and lead in the business versus things that you say, I need to hire these specific skills?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, being a male, I am the only male.
You're the only one on staff, man.
The only one. We have a few guys that come and go at the warehouse from time to time, but nobody. I'm the only guy. So that has resulted in me being conscious of that and using what my natural skill set is. It has nothing to do with, now I'm sure I know a lot more about women's clothing than any other male in this room right now. And I, you know, you may not know the difference in a bandeau and a romper like I do. But you know, my strength is not in buying the clothes and is not in marketing the clothes and all those sort of things. My strength has always been, I've always been, you know, big into leadership, and I've always was always a leader. I was, you know, captain of sports teams, you know, so that's my heart is the people. And we actually have a trademark phrase that is love people, love clothes. And
I love it.
That's just the two fundamentals that we work by every day. And to work for us or to be a part of it, you've got to love people and love clothes. And I love the people, and that's what I do. Help, you know, that's what I enjoy is building and growing and building the teams.
I could see that. Building the team, finding the right people. I could definitely picture really pouring into people.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that, you know, really could be said building culture.
Yeah.
Culture is so important. Mm-hmm. How many employees do you have across these 17 stores and a corporate office?
We hovered anywhere between 2 to 250 people.
Golly.
Total. So we have about 30 to 40 at our corporate office / warehouse distribution center that we have here in town. So
what are some of the things, that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the keys you think to fostering a great culture? How do you love on the people internally?
Yeah. A lot of it kind of goes back to, at least for me, a lot of it's common sense. Like I said earlier, is just using, I live by this rule of, you know, I'm a man of faith, and I believe that unless you're, you know, are a crazy person and have a different voice in your head, which some people do. But I always believe that if something is telling me to say something, to say it. And I never let that pass. And I can't tell you how many times I've been, it's 7 o'clock at night, and something will pop in my head about a certain person that works for us, and I'll act on it and say, hey, just letting you know that you're doing great. And those little things like that go so far. Mm-hmm. And we've really ingrained that in our culture of, if you think it, do it. If you feel like somebody's struggling, go talk to them. In a culture with several hundred females, you know, people always say, how do you avoid drama? It's like, well, we just have a no drama policy. If there's drama,
I love it.
Get in the car and drive however far you got to go to fix it, because once it starts, it'll explode.
Yes.
So we try to eliminate all of those things by just honestly communicating.
So wise.
I mean, you can have a ping pong table, and you can have free, all that, all that comes and goes. It's people want to know that you actually care about them.
Amen. Love people and love clothes. Whatever your product is, let's say it's hammers. Love people and love hammers. We're going to jump back into this after this break on North Georgia Business Radio X. love clothes, love people. I love that saying that we just heard from Derek on our last segment. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio X. If you're just joining us, we're glad you're here. I would encourage you strongly, go back, listen on Spotify or whatever, go to Access WDUN, listen to the first couple segments. Some really great lessons in here. It's a honor getting to do this show and getting to speak with wonderful local entrepreneurs and all the things that they do. And Dress Up Boutique, Derek started with his wife right out of college. It's awesome. They have 17 stores, 200 to 250 people have built a great culture. But Derek, things aren't always easy, are they?
Mm-mm.
I want to go back. We went through the COVID time period. Tell us about some scary moments. We're on the other side now. It can be hard to remember. Things are rocking. What were things like when, like, probably some of your stores couldn't even be open for months?
Yeah. No, I don't know that I will ever, as long as I live, whether whatever I do with my business life for the rest of my life, I'll never forget that.
Mm.
Definitely for us, what really was tough is most everybody that I know, everybody had the initial shock, but most everybody I know in the businesses they were in, they crushed it. It was
crushed
the biggest years
it.
They ever had.
Biggest years.
And I was sitting over here just feeling like a little, I mean, it was awful. We went, come to March. And what makes it even worse is January and February, we do less in those 2 months combined than we do in any normal month of the year because it's just so slow in retail.
Mm-hmm.
So for COVID to really be initiated in March, we already, I mean, this year even, in March, things are tight already
right.
because you were so low. So that compounded with that was very difficult because we still had 17, 18 rents to pay. We still had all these employees. Mm-hmm. We still had all these costs that were coming in no matter what. And it was shocking, very difficult. We went overnight. We literally, our sales went down by 60%, literally overnight. And I'll never forget, it was early March, and I brought everybody that works at our corporate office here. And everybody kind of was like, oh, what is this? It's great. Everybody's working from home. Everybody's posting on social media. And I said, I know that, a lot of you guys' friends and family are enjoying this. I said, but I haven't hardly slept since this started. And starting today, everybody's getting a 50% pay cut, and I don't know if we're going to have a job or not after this week.
Wow.
I said, we save for slow. You don't save for a
catastrophe.
60%. Yeah, like you just don't. I mean, you can't operate. So it was a lot of – it took months. We ended up closing all stores on March 15th of 2020 because of COVID was such a crazy time from a regulation standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Georgia, every single city – Gainesville, Dahlonega, Atlanta, all had different rules. And we couldn't keep up with it. And much less when you add, you've got four or five different states and cities, and we couldn't keep up with it. So finally, we just said, all right, we're closing everything. And we closed from March 15th, and we reopened on May 1st of 2020 with a lot of challenges, of course, and took some time for sure.
Well, kudos to you. I'm sure, I can't even imagine how difficult that conversation was with this work family that you built. We just talked about in the last segment. You love people. You pour into these people. You were so intentional about motivating and encouraging these people. And you had to go in and tell them you're all getting a 50% pay cut and it might go to zero. That had to tear you up. But you did it because you had to.
Yeah.
And that's what business is about. It's not easy, and you did what you had to do. So kudos to you for that. And all those people, if they, stayed with the company through that, they're there and thriving now.
Yeah.
But if you hadn't made that tough decision, or maybe even if you delayed 2 weeks, it might not have been the same.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You had to make that tough decision and to decrease corporate pay, to close the stores. Was there any effort at that time to say, wow, what can we do to throw more into online sales?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it just waiting things out on the brick and mortar side?
Yeah, I think it was, luckily for us, a couple years prior, we changed our software system to where all of our in-store merchandise is available to buy online. So if the online, if we release something tonight online and it doesn't get released to the stores till tomorrow, in theory, it could sell through all of the entire company's inventory tonight if something's super hot. So we didn't really have to necessarily shift per se. It shifted itself as soon as people quit coming to the stores. Right. And at first, nobody knew how long it was going to last. Everybody thought April 1st, we're back to normal. And so we sold through pretty much 85% of every piece of inventory that we owned.
Awesome.
And all of our companies within, or with all of our stores within about 6 weeks. And then became the problem of, okay, we got to replace this inventory, supply chain issues, and, you know, the stores reopened on May 1st. We hardly had any clothes in them. And at the time, if I could have called my vendors and said, hey, here's $5 million. Give me all the inventory you have. And they would have not been able to give me but 10% of that. You know, so you add those challenges. So, okay, now we're kind of trying to get back, even though the traffic's still weird in the stores, but we can't get product anyways. It was an ongoing. We didn't fully get back to normal until it took a full good 18 months. I mean, it was early 2022 before we really were kind of back to normal.
Oof.
Took a long time.
If here's a lesson from that. They did what they needed to do to survive, and they did have some savings they'd built up too. We all want to thrive, and a lot of people don't, and they don't take the boldness to build things to what they need to be. But if you want to thrive, you do have to survive first.
Mm-hmm.
And those tough things are going to come. You could have, no way on earth you could have anticipated the reaction to COVID and what that would do to business. And you got to be ready to move to survive at all costs. Because if you keep moving forward, you keep breathing, things will get better and you can thrive again. All right. Inventory, such a difficult thing post-COVID, kind of as COVID went through. But when I think of your inventory, and I think you get new items in the stores every week and you have all these stores, that's got to be quite a Herculean effort to manage inventory anytime.
Yeah.
What are the keys to doing that? All those new products and all the locations, how do you handle that?
Well, that was back to the biggest part that I enjoy of the company is the people, and then also building whether it's teams or processes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point when we used to, I don't remember the exact year, but I remember we got to our UPS charter. We used to only ship all of our inventory directly from most of our vendors are out of Los Angeles. And Danielle would say, okay, I want 20 styles from this company this week. Well, they would divide that amongst, at the time, the 10 stores that we had and drop ship them to every store.
Mm.
Well, at that time, our UPS bill for 1 month got up to approaching $20,000. And I was like, okay, there's got to be a better way. So that's when we did our first warehouse and full distribution center, and we can control it more.
Mm.
So, you know, we've had all of that here in place since then, and that was, again, a feat that I enjoyed tackling. And so but it's never ending. We have more data and analytics than we've ever had before, but to truly figure out what to buy, when to buy, how much to buy, it's always, my wife always says, it's always the most random things that sell out, or there may be something just like it that has a slightly difference to it and nobody liked it, and then it's just a bomb. So you got to figure out what to do with it.
Good thing you listen to your gut.
That's right.
Mm. All right, if you could, give me three things that we could do a dress-up freestyle rap about. And by we, I mean me. But you need to tell me what to rap about. What are three things?
Oh, Lord.
As we wrap up this episode. Anything.
Never been asked that.
Three random things about dress-up.
Random things about dress-up.
Yeah, whatever you want.
I guess you could say one man, bunch of women.
One man, hundreds of ladies.
I don't know. That is a unique question.
We'll talk about clothes,
Phil.
Dress up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't have a pen to write it down, which is unique, so I might not remember all the things anyway. All right. Man, check it out. The workplace is crazy. I got just one man, couple hundred of ladies. But that's all right. He loves to lead the team. He and his wife help to create the dream. 250 and 17 cities helping all the ladies affordably look pretty. Every week, 60 new styles. Ladies, come and shop there and get buck wild. Dress up all over the place. If you want to look beautiful and full of grace, go there. Get the nice pants and a romper. Check it out. You want to look so cool, that stomper. Over there to the Dress Up. It's wonderful. You know, there's nothing wrong with wonderful, so we're going to end with that. Derek, thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to North Georgia Business Radio X with Phil Bonelli. What local business do you know that should be highlighted on our program? Let us know. Just search North Georgia Business Radio X on Facebook or contact Bo at businessradiox.com. See you next time, and remember to support our local businesses.